نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد
الله سبحانه وتعالى has so much he loves his servants, his creation, his servants, that such opportunities, chances, such conditions, circumstances, Allah creates for that individual, for an individual, that somehow or other this individual, he needs to be saved from Jahannam. We don't understand the reality of what is Jahannam, hell. We hear about it, we read about it also, but the reality of it, Allah knows what it is really, what the punishment of hell, who can bear that? Who can bear that really? And in the hadith regards to Jahannam, hell, what has been explained, what Allah Ta'ala has said, what Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, that is so severe and horrible that whilst talking about Jahannam, the heart shakes and the person, the human being, will be sent there. So what is hell? What is it? What is it that a person does that takes him to hell? Very, very severe place. And also, it's a very bad thing, a very negative action that leads a person to Jahannam. Allah has today given us power, energy, understanding, and time. If we want, then today we can be saved from that fire. Tomorrow there'll be nobody, nothing to save us. There'll be no one to call out, to hear our screams and shouts from that fire. That fire is such that even, you know, the tip of the needle, you know, the tip of the needle, there's a big, big example. Even if less than that diameter space, if the fire of Jahannam was to be exposed, then the whole world would be destroyed. Like, imagine millions of atom bombs together combined, just as an example. That's how severe it is. One atom bomb, you know how much destruction it spreads. So if there are millions of the world's atom bombs, more than that, yeah, imagine the heat and the destruction that the head of a needle, if it's exposed. And that's where a person's going to be sent. What is it that takes a person to that point? That is sin. Sin. Guna. Now, sin is what destroys a human being. Sin is what takes a person to hell. Sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the relationship, connection he's made with his servant is very close. Allah says that I'm closer to my servant than his own jugular vein. That's how close is Allah, and the relationship is strong. But we have made Allah far from us. Allah has kept us so close. Allah Ta'ala has kept us so close, subhanAllah, that Allah says, you prostrate to me and I am watching you. It's like you are watching me. That's one position that a person, he creates that through that ibadah. Allah says, it's like you are seeing me. Yes, we are seeing Allah. This feeling, this emotion, Allah, this feeling, this spiritual feeling. And Allah gives an opportunity. Most of all, he's given to us with more than all ibadah. Five times Allah has enabled and given us the tawfiq to do sajda, prostration. And in every salah we do a few sajda, at least various. Why is it? Why is it other actions only one? For example, atayat or ruku, etc. But sujood Allah has increased. Why? Because that's where a person meets Allah. Meets Allah. Allah is attained. Allah, the meeting with Allah is attained. Not just once. Allah says, this ibadah, do it five times during the day. Hajj is once, zakat is a certain amount, and a time, ibadat all have the limits, but salah, Allah says, five times, it's compulsory, you have to for sure come to me, Allah says. So this is Allah, where Allah is dragging and pulling a person that come to me, come to me. After that, then Allah has given nawafil, voluntary, that when you're hunger increases to Simbia, won't stop the tracks, you and your tracks. Allah says, Allah give you nawafil, optional, extra, voluntary. And this is logic, isn't it? This is logic that, for example, some people run away from fard, some people pray fard, then after they run away from the nafil, extra prayers, there's the feeling in the heart, each person, the person whose passion and desire increases to get near to Allah, then he has enjoyment in the nafil. And he gets that enjoyment, same in nafil that he gets in the fard. He is rejoicing with love, he implements the nafil, because Allah's love has come awake inside him. So what is it that Allah calls us five times a day, gives us extra ibadah, extra worship, everything, so we don't have that feeling, yes, like where Allah said that it's as if you are seeing me and I'm seeing you. Why is it we don't have that emotion? The reason is that there is a veil that we've put, big one, between us and Allah. That veil, when it's drawn back and removed, then we'll see Allah. If I say to you, meet me, and I put five or six veils and curtains between me and you, and I say, you have to meet you. How will you meet me then? There's one curtain, then the other one you'll draw, then the other one you'll pull back. When you remove all the veils and curtains, then you can see me, isn't it? After all the barriers are removed. So these barriers, so we don't have that emotion in Salah, the real emotion that should be in Salah, which is the essence of Salah, for which this ibadah Allah has selected for us. Allah hasn't given us strictness that leave your shop and come to me, leave your beds and come to me, leave your house and family and come to me. Yes, that Allah Ta'ala, is He saying it to us sternly and strictly? Is He giving us a punishment? No. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is saying there's a great favor of mine on you, a grace of mine on you. Karam. So it's our fault that we don't present ourselves in front of Allah to the standard we should, the level we should. We don't feel it. We're not coming to that standard that we should make our standard, our own definition of the level we should be on. So we get the enjoyment, we get the taste, we get the reality of Salah. The enjoyment of Salah, Namaz, is such that the noble companions, when they prayed Salah, then during that time they'd say, oh, if you need to operate on me, do it now, so that I don't feel it, because I'm not aware, I'm not conscious of that time. So much taste they had of Salah, that it's like we are fallen unconscious. We don't know what's happening physically around us in the world, because the magnificence and the excellence and greatness of Allah is present there at that time. That's the real Salah. Yes, so if Allah gives us tawfiq, that He gives a person the opportunity to pray Salah, don't just leave it there, oh, I've prayed Salah. No, Salah, get to the real essence of Salah, to the real result of Salah. It's not Allah is strict, you pray Salah, it's your duty, just pray and go. No, assess yourself that the namaz, the Salah I've just prayed, and the objective of Salah, how much have I attained of that? How much of that have I got as a share? As something coming to my heart? Has my heart moved? Is Allah's love come awake inside me? Is there some light inside me? Oh, Salah is a great thing. I've prostrated to Allah, so many prostrations. And in the sajda, Allah said a great thing, that the sajda, when you prostrate, you are closest to me when you're in prostration. So you, how much did I get close to Allah? How much qurb did I attain? We need to assess. Oh, we just pray Salah and we leave. We say, I've prayed, I've finished. Alhamdulillah, great thing. In this day and age, even this is a great achievement, that this order of Allah person obeys. But this isn't the essence of Salah that we've attained, is it? We haven't really got to the end point, to the result, the conclusion. So what is the invitation? Salah is inviting us that one is the Salah physically you've implemented, but the next Salah when you come, you should be in a different feeling, a different emotion. You should implement the next prayer in a better way, in a nicer way, so that you can take full benefit from me, says Salah. How can it be that after you pray Salah, you go and commit sins again? After praying Salah, you go and do wrong actions again? No. No, Salah condition is such that after praying Salah, the human being becomes so clean and pure with Allah's magnificence and excellence that he doesn't even feel like or think about committing sins. That's why I stated that Salah prevents one from sin. Why does it prevent a person from sinning? Because he develops that emotion within. Allah's greatness comes in. Allah's superiority comes in. When that feeling comes in, then he runs from sin. He says, what's sin? That's why it's stated that Salah, it saves a person from fahisha, immodesty. So when you say you're praying Salah and you're not stopping doing immodesty, actions, fahisha, then what do you do? Don't leave Salah. Must improve that Salah. Increase that Salah. For example, if you have a nose, do you cut the if you have a flu, do you cut the nose off? Or if you have a blister, do you cut the finger off, etc.? No, you cure it. You don't cut that portion off. So same way, Allah, if He's given you tawfiq to pray salah, you're not getting that emotion. You're not getting that satisfaction. After praying salah, you commit sins again. After praying salah, you lie again. After praying salah, you do wrong actions again. After praying salah, you again, you don't go forward. You don't improve. This is the reason that our deen is spoiled. What spoils the passion within us to improve and increase? Just like we have the passion to expand our dunya and get more. For example, you see regularly a person's got a small shop. After 5-6 years, you meet him. Then inshallah, he has another shop as well. Because when he opened that shop, he had a passion, desire that I won't just be satisfied. I want to grow the business. Today I'm selling vegetables. Then with vegetables, I'll put some flowers. Then I'll put some meat. Then I'll sell flour. And you see regularly that those people, that very small shop it was, and if you see it now, Barakatwala, you know, so it was a small shop, and inside was all sort of raw, and he stood there, the young boy, and I used to go to him, because my habit is, the first shop I go to, they make a niya intention, that I just started here, so he just started it, so let's help him and start by going to this shop. That's a niya, isn't it? Make an intention, you get the thawab as well, the reward. So nobody used to come to that poor brother as a customer. I used to go there, and he used to have a little bit of stock there, just, you know, not really in the proper order. And I used to say to him that, I used to say, just joke, that do this for me. And today, I've kept his name Qasr, because I said to him, do Qasr for me, and he used to do that. So watching, looking, observing, because he had a passion, and in front of me, that shop, you can see now where it has arrived, expanded, grown. So even today when he meets me, he gives a lot of love. All of them, they respect, they give. Why? Because from the first day I felt that this is a shop. But when a person starts a shop, starts up a business, startup, then this is the trials of the world, I'm telling you. Then he exposes and he brings out his jazbah that I want to grow, want to expand. Go, it's fine. Allah Ta'ala says, go. You can grow your dunya, expand it. Yes. So while you do that, you do that. Maybe he will expand even more and grow even bigger because he has that passion, that desire. But these are things that will disappear though, isn't it? That passion, that desire, that the way he's expanded and grown the business, just a sudden jolt will go and then the whole building could drop and everything could scatter around. What is there? There's nothing. Maud comes, for example, a person, even then, that's it. End of the chapter. But this jazbah, passion, we should use for our deen. Every ibadah is given a target, remember this. That salah has given us a target, that this is the target for your salah. Brilliant target Allah has given to us. That you see me and I will see you as well in salah. Today I've not seen a person who's praying salah and he has a niyyah that I want to attain this maqam. I can't see that today. They are separate, those people who have that target, that ambition. That when those people who pray salah, their salah is unique, who have that target, that ambition. Their salah is unique. Why? Because they have that determination, they have that desire, they have that want, they have a need. So they do the ibadah in accordance to that approach. Behind every ibadah, Allah says, this is the what you need to attain from this worship. This is what you need. For example, we are passing through Ramadan. Ramadan. Yes, we are passing through Ramadan. Everybody is keeping a fast. Everybody's praying Taraweeh. Everyone's listening or reading the Quran. Everybody will celebrate Eid. But successful will be those people who in Ramadan attained Ramadan for the purpose that Allah Ta'ala gave it to us. And Allah will tell us, Allah tells us, لَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That this Ramadan I'm giving to you, this is not for you to be hungry, thirsty, or no, or I don't want you to keep a diet, I don't want you to work out on Taraweeh or finish Quran. This is not the purpose of Ramadan. These will support you for this objective, that the objective I've given to you. They can support it, they can. But it's not the real meaning or purpose of Ramadan. But you have to do it, you have to do these actions to get the result. You have to follow these resources means. So whenever there's an ibadah, for that ibadah, you have to think that what's the purpose of this ibadah Allah has given to me? Why is He given us this worship or this ibadah? What's behind it? What does Allah want from His servant when I do this? Because there are many directions of the servant. There are many paths. So which direction of servanthood am I going through right now? Just like salah, Allah says, be my servant. So there's a separate subject. You'll say Allahu Akbar, you'll stand, you'll bow, you'll get into prostration, then you'll sit down, then you'll prostrate. So there are many many parts, many phases of this ibadah that Allah is making us do. Just same way, every ibadah has its direction, its procedure. That person follows that. So fasting has a procedure. Allah has given us direction in the morning, eat, in the evening, during the day, don't eat. They sit like this, do this, don't do this. These are all directions and signs and procedures. But at the end, ultimately, what does Allah want to get us to attain from this worship? Allah wants is that when you finish your fast, then inside you that light, that nur has been created of taqwa, fear. That person who has that after Ramadan, from the first fast you can get this. Yes, that as soon as you make the niyyah for the first fast and you've got that target in your mind, that I've kept the fast for this reason, I've got no other objective, to be hungry, etc., poverty. No, the objective is that through this fast, Allah's put a quality, a characteristic in the fast that, and for example, every medicine has its qualities. Yes, for the stomach pain, you take a tablet. If you use that stomach pain tablet for your eye pain, will it solve the pain? No, that it will. If you take the capsule, then it will fix the stomach problem because it has a quality that it will fix your stomach bug or issue. It's just in the shape of a tablet. Same way, every ibadah, worship, Allah has put different qualities, effects. And if you follow that quality, then it will take the effect in the right way. It will only give that effect that Allah has given its quality. So in the fast, Allah has put such a quality, it's a fantastic quality and strength that Allah has put into fasting. That thing that Allah Ta'ala, He wants to make us through the fasting, due to which we can be successful in the hereafter. That's what Allah wants us to attain. Yes, muttaqi, taqwa. That without taqwa, nobody can go into paradise. Without taqwa, nobody can move into paradise. Until we don't have taqwa inside, that's the first thing that we need to develop. So taqwa, alhamdulillah, is such a great ibadah Allah has given to us. Taqwa. Yes? And not that after 30 fasts you will get this. This is not the case. In the first fast, Allah has put the quality and the strength that when the human being keeps that fast and he wants to attain taqwa, then taqwa is developed in him from that first day. Taqwa is developed in the first day because Allah has put the effect in the fast that it will develop taqwa in you. But we don't have that niyyah that I want to attain taqwa through the fast, I want to become a muttaqi. So we'll never be able to become one. The first fast, we haven't attained that feeling, we haven't become a muttaqi. Then what will we do? Then the next fast we'll try. Then, that's why Allah has given us 30 chances to get this, 30 attempts. And Allah said after 30 attempts, definitely when you leave Ramadan, then you'll come out as a muttaqi. And when you become a muttaqi and leave Ramadan, then you will celebrate that in the form of Eid. Yes? So Eid is a celebration of that completion. Allah shows to His angels, let me show to you on the earth that man who's a sinful person walking around in the world. You said he's too sinful. Let me show to you today how great a muttaqi has become. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, so we don't even know what is taqwa. We are so happy, Eid has come, Eid Sawaiya, Semolina, enjoy, eat and enjoy. No, Eid is for the muttaqis. This is their celebration. And then the real muttaqi, Allah Ta'ala sunnah this is, that when Allah rewards a human being, then what should the human being do? He should be grateful. He should be grateful on that ni'mah. So Allah says, such a great rule I've given to you that you are muttaqi and you could have become muttaqi before. Allah Ta'ala says Himself. He says then, Allah, what we want is that you have given us taqwa in these 30 days and you've made us a muttaqi, you've made me a muttaqi. Now what I want is that the first action I do, first of all, in the morning you do this, is that I prostrate to you, the prostration of gratefulness. This is the salah of Eid. You prostrate, you're grateful. You don't understand what I'm saying? Yes. You don't do any other action first. Do you do anything else on Eid first? The first action what we do on Eid is that we prostrate Allah. It's the prostration of gratefulness. An extra ibadah Allah gives so that we can show our gratitude. Get up, yes, become pure, clean, have a bath, freshen up yourself. And then because you say, Allah, you've given us a great Ramadan full of salamat and I'm feeling that inside me is taqwa, alhamdulillah. So due to that fast, Allah Ta'ala says, that such a great nur light you've attained. There's not just this now, that you have got the Ramadan with salamat and goodness, the rest of your whole year will be goodness and you will live the life of a muttaqi. So who attains this? The person from the first fast, he understood that the fast that's coming, it's come to give me taqwa. And my niyyah is this, my intention is that I'm only keeping the fast for this purpose so that I can become a muttaqi. And then start to assess yourself, reflect after keeping the fast. Then say, now in this fast, how many actions of taqwa did you do? How many actions of muttaqi did you do? And your assessment, your analysis itself, your feelings, emotions will tell you that how many actions I do today to become a muttaqi. Yes, who is a muttaqi? What is a muttaqi? What is the definition of a muttaqi? It's not this that, for example, our face will change, or we get wings of angels, or horns will grow on our heads. No. No. What is a muttaqi? A muttaqi is that person who doesn't commit sins. He doesn't disobey Allah. So cautious he becomes. So much caution comes into that person. It's created, developed, that he understands, he starts to understand that sin is a very dirty thing indeed. If I lie, that when he lies, he'll start to feel the smell. He'll smell it when he lies. And he'll save his eyesight and he will feel it, the eyesight. He won't need to try it, but he will feel it. When a person becomes a muttaqi, then to become a muttaqi you have to work hard. But after becoming a muttaqi, to leave the sins, you don't need to make the effort. You don't need to work hard. What a great reward for a muttaqi. Yes, why? Because he starts to hate and dislike those actions that he loved before, the sins. Haram money will come to his hands. He says, oh, leave this, I don't feel like using this. Everything that Allah dislikes, everything that Allah Ta'ala dislikes, in his mind awareness, and he'll start to feel that, no, I don't want to do this action. I don't want to lie. I will not backbite. I won't do this action. Every dirty, impure action, his standard will become such that whatever Allah dislikes, even if it's a so-called minor thing, apparently even if it's a minor thing, for example, I can't do this. I can't eat this. I can't wear this. I can't do this action. Why? They'll say, why? Oh, it's no problem, they'll say. It's okay. Just do it. And the person, because that person doesn't have the passion inside and he hasn't got developed the hate for sin, he hasn't got taqwa. But taqwa, the person, the muttaqi who's got taqwa, then that thing becomes haram for him. It is unlawful for him. So he, because he's attained taqwa. So first he worked hard, and then after that became easy for him to leave that wrong. So this is the sign that a person has kept a fast, and after fasting, he saw that how is my emotion, my circumstance within change. Then the next day he will get a bit of coolness in his anger. You know when he gets angry on somebody, then he'll say, ooh, he'll get a little bit soft and tender, and he'll control, calm the anger. If he's going to take revenge on somebody, then no, he won't have that wild approach. He'll just think for a few moments. Every wrong before going towards the wrong, that man will do what? Some thoughts will come into his mind. Just a little inkling. Like, alhamdulillah, consider that my first fast has given success. It's given me success. Say honestly, that this is how, have we kept the fast like this? Yeah, is this the way that we measure our fasts? How sad it is if it isn't. Why? What are you doing then? What are we doing? Yes? Allah Ta'ala, what He's given to us, the ibadat, we're even joking with that. Yes, at least think for that such a great month, Ramadan, Allah's given to us. Such a great, Allah's prepared and given us Ramadan. He's making us do actions, great announcement. For which purpose has Allah done this? For which purpose? Anyway, so now the second Ashura is starting, alhamdulillah. So the second third of Ramadan is for maghfirah, for forgiveness. Yes, that's the special effect of this Ashura. That's what we need to do, is that we need to earn our forgiveness from Allah. What do we need to do? Earn our maghfirah, forgiveness from Allah. This is the target of this Ashura, this third of Ramadan. So in this third of Ramadan, these 10 days, what do we need to do? All actions that lead to maghfirah, forgiveness. Like, for example, when you do anything, you should do an action with an awareness, with a standard, with an approach. So for us, we just have one approach for fasting. Eat in the morning, do some work, and maybe a big favor we think we've done is pray Tarawih and a story. And then open the phone, and we start looking at a few things in the phone, and we just do what our normal habit is, we please our desires, and then we'll keep the fast again tomorrow. Reflect and assess after fasting that am I getting to my target or am I not getting to my target? A person who even 1% alhamdulillah has seen a change, then subhanallah, congratulations to that person. Mubarak, you have started to walk and travel on your path. And a good news for you, great news from Allah to you, that at least you have started to walk on the path, even if 1%, you've come from minus 1 to 0 to 1%. Allah says the meaning of this is that you started to travel. Now my work is now, I'm going to drag you and pull you in, Allah says, draw you in. Subhanallah. You have gone just like an inch. Yes, Allah says you go just a short space, then one handspan I come towards you, Allah says. And then in the next fast, Allah's help gets included in Allah. La'ma al-muhsineen, Allah says. That definitely I do not leave the doers of good empty. So that's your target, my friends. When you fast, then make a target while you're fasting. That I've got an aim. I want to become a muttaqi until evening. I want to do actions of taqwa. Because who is a muttaqi? A muttaqi, not a person who prays salah, not a person who prays taraweeh, not a person who recites Quran. These aren't signs of muttaqi. Muttaqi is that person who, until the evening, he keeps himself saved from the sins. He stays away from the sins. He saves himself from committing the sins. Yes. Okay. So I've used another word today, isn't it? He saved himself. Rather, I will go back now. Press the rewind button. The muttaqi is that person who, to save himself from the sin, he tries to save himself from the sin. Here, I'll press the rewind button now. Yeah, because I'm speaking from the angle of Allah's rahmah. First statement I said was like a human being. Oh, haven't you done this action until the evening? Then see what happens. If you don't learn your sabak, we say to the children, then you see what happens. You'll get patai and you'll get scolded and I'll stand you up. But your Rabb says what? No problem. No worries. You try, then try again, Allah will say. Allah says, try again. So I said wrong there. So what's the point? The person who tries to save himself from the sins. So Allah Ta'ala says, you've become a muttaqi. You've become a muttaqi. And you have started the journey with me. You are doing this much, I'll do this much. So you do this much, I'll do this much for you. I'll do more for you. So you've started that relationship with me. You've realized and recognized your Lord, your Creator. Otherwise, who becomes a muttaqi? How can we become a muttaqi after one first? Can a person become a muttaqi? No. But a person has become a muttaqi, alhamdulillah, because he's stepped forward. He's taken a step. And one fast was going totally wastefully. We had no target, no aim, no direction, no understanding. And one fast on the other hand is to just think for a few moments, the meaning of this fast is this and I want to attain this objective. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So will we all brothers do this approach? Yes, mashallah. Well done. Well done. So this is fasting. Ramadan. How many times has it come in the year? Once. But salah, 5 times a day, we should at least make some intention for that as well, isn't it? Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So what intention should we make for prayer? So at least make the intention for prayer that when you stand for prayer, at that time make me, Allah Ta'ala, you are so graceful, you have favored me, you've given me a chance to do this worship, you've brought me to here. If you didn't, what would I have done? You have brought me here, you enable me to do wudu, ablution. Speak to Allah like this. Speak to Allah. Why has Allah said that I'm closer to you than your jugular vein? Why? Because Allah has given us an invitation. Allah has given us encouragement, a drive. He's encouraging us that your Rabb, your Lord, Musa alayhi salam, that Allah wants to see you. Allah said, can you see me? Imagine. Imagine. Allah, the Creator, said to Musa alayhi salam, how can you see me? How will you be able to see me? Just look at this tree. Look here. So Allah, our Creator, to give us encouragement. Imagine, Allah's given us encouragement. He's trying to G us up. Allah says, I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. Why is Allah Ta'ala trying to G us up and give us determination and help and assistance? Because Allah says, when you do this ibadah, when you start to worship this ibadah, then remember this point. that I'm very close to you indeed, I'm very close to you. So speak to me as if you are seeing me. Speak to me as if you are seeing me. Otherwise, why would Allah say I'm close to you? We don't even do dua. There was one pious elder, alhamdulillah, Dr. Abdul Hayy rahmatullah alayhi, very high level waliyallah. He had a connection with Hazrat Thanvi sahab and Mufti Taqi sahab, attained and did mujahida with him, attained the lessons from there. He said beautiful things. He said that when Allah Ta'ala has said to you that I am close to you, then the meaning of close is that speak to your Rabb, speak to Allah. Why do you look right here and everywhere? That, have you got pain in the leg? Allah, I've got pain in my leg. Please correct it, Allah. Allah is paining me. Allah, take the pain. I can't lift my leg. Then your leg will be corrected. Allah will give you a solution. But we don't have yaqeen, belief in this. We have a belief in the scan, isn't it? In the hospital. We'll wait for the appointment, 2 months, my turn hasn't come, my appointment. In that 2 months, if you'd said once, and Allah's put no condition for this. Yes, there's no condition for this. That's why Allah said, I'm close to you. Standing, sitting, wherever you are, Allah says, I'm always closer to you than your jugular vein. Why? Because maybe at any time you have a need for me. Subhanallah, subhanallah. You are my servant. Maybe you'll have a need for me. You will need me, and you make a decision that if you just think that Allah is close to you in Ramadan, in Salah, and just in Ramadan, and only when Hajj comes, then we have to wait for that time and present our needs. Allah, Ramadan will come, then I'll present to Allah and put my request forward, isn't it? If it was just limited times, okay, it's Salah time now, this is the only time Allah's close, there's 3 hours left now to the next Salah, then I have to wait to present my needs. Allah says, no, that I put a letterbox there with you attached. For your request is totally with you. Whenever you require, throw the letter through with your request to me. Allah says, I'll receive your letter and your request. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, it's attached to us always. Okay, so why don't we believe in this? It's very surprising. Allah says, I'm close to you. We say, Allah, no, you're far from us. Allah, imagine that whatever Allah says, say to Allah. Why do you shy away? Say to Allah, okay, and then when will the answer come? Where will the answer come? The answer does come. The answer will come straight to your heart. If I say, Allah, I've got pain in my leg, so much severe pain. Allah, I'm struggling, I can't lift my leg. Allah, please help me. Help me. Where can I go? What shall I do? Allah, please improve me. Sort it out. Allah, help me. There's no ibadah for this, no wudu, no place, no Kaaba, nothing. Wherever you stood, just speak to Allah. You're speaking to Allah there. Why? Because Allah has put the letterbox. Keep on putting your request through, and always there will be the communication. Tak, the response will come. Immediately, the go take the appointment in the morning from the doctor. Aha! So this is Allah puts this in your mind. What's Allah saying? Then make the appointment for the doctor. So when in this way you make the appointment from the doctor, then the doctor, there'll be an effect in that doctor. There'll be a quality. Unknowingly he'll be waiting for you. Unconsciously he'll be waiting for you. And when he writes the medicine, it's not him writing it. It's from Allah, the direction. He's writing the prescription. Subhanallah, the solution is from Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying or not? Yes. So, from who is the solution coming? This is ta'aluk billah, creating a relationship with Allah, connection. This ibadah Allah has given is to create a connection, not to take off your head, oh, I've prayed salah, oh, I've just prayed salah. Have you finished prayer? Yeah, I've finished prayer. Have you prayed? Yes, I've prayed salah. That's it. That's not the reason Allah has given it. We could just keep on throwing off your head, or count 2 or 3 or 4. No. This is wasting. Allah's given it for an opportunity, a reason that create a relationship with me. Strengthen your relationship with me, Allah Ta'ala says. Okay. So such people, when they die, then they have a unique death. Subhanallah. Yes, when the maut comes, death comes, they don't realize that, have I come out of the dunya? Am I still in the world? What's happening? What place have I come to? I didn't even know that I had transitioned. So because they, even there in the grave, they have that same strong relationship with Allah. Oh, I didn't realize I'm in the grave now. Yes, imagine the glory. Create such a connection with Allah. This relationship with Allah. For this relationship, strong relationship with Allah. With Allah. Allah has given us salah so we can develop that strong relationship with Allah. That's why Allah has given us Ramadan. To create the relationship with Allah. Allah says, I want to see that who makes the connection with me from my servants. That he understands that I am very close to Allah. So when the human beings develops this awareness after salah. and he has that awareness that really Allah is close to me, then the jiggle of it, I swear by Allah, and I say this, that human being becomes an ajeeb, unique human being. He'll have so much confidence that he will have no need for anybody after that. He'll have no need for anybody. Whenever he will lower his head and he'll see Allah and he'll start his request to Allah. Then the next action, tuck, he'll put Allah, okay Allah, Allah will put a feeling in his heart, do this action, then he'll run to that action. So this world is a place of resources. وَمَا ذَلِكَ Allah says, Allah be aziz. Don't think anything is hard for me. If you say kun, anything can be brought in front of you. If you say kun, I'm your Rabb, your Lord, your Creator. Allah says, you said kun, whatever you want, it will be, it will happen, it will come in front of you. The whole Quran says that when kun is said, that's when the things come. Musa alayhi salam, he said, Allah, no, I want to eat this now. I will eat this now. Allah said, no problem. And those things started to fall. Oh no, Allah wants sweet as well. Then the sweet came as well on top of that. No? Did this not occur? So Allah gave the power. So today when you ask your ummati Muhammadi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, you have a high status. When you ask, will Allah not give to you? No, of course. Allah says, I'll give to you. But I will follow a method with you, Allah says. I will be with you. When you ask from me, before you, first you'll have to come to me. Whenever you go to who? Who should you go to when you need something? We go to the dunya. We go to the world. I'm giving the example of a prophet now. As a Zakariya, alayhi salam, great prophet of Allah, great prophet. And the enemy's running after him to beat him. And he's hiding here, hiding there, hiding there. And while he was hiding, he came to a tree. And he hid behind the tree, next to the trees. And he stood there next to the prophet of Allah. He said, oh tree, give me protection. The Nabi said, the prophet. He had the power. He was the Nabi. And the Wali Allah has this power. Okay? Why? How does that power and the ability come into the Wali Allah? He's not a magician. Why? Because inside him, he has strengthened the faith and the strength of the yaqeen that whatever I ask, I'll get it. And they do. So he said to Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam said, oh tree, protect me. Hide me. Yahudi is arriving here to hit me. So the tree opened up. And he took him inside. Shaitan was watching all of this. He said, ooh, what has he done here? So when the youth were there to come and hit, Shaitan informed that this is Shaitan's function. He creates the waswasa. Negative said, he's hidden here, inside this tree. And you just need to bring the saw. And they tried to saw the tree into two parts, and they did. And Allah Ta'ala says, Zakariya, where have you gone? Where did you go to? When the enemies were running after you, what happened to you after that? That you went and asked the tree for protection. Why didn't you come to me and say, Allah, save me, and I would have saved you? Ta'aleem, lesson. The Anbiya's events, the stories of the prophets are ta'aleem, education for us. That when you see this example, save yourself. Where should you go? Whenever there's an opportunity, don't try to use the resources. First go to who? Allah. That's why hajat is a salah. It's called salatul hajat. And it's such a great action for us, my brothers. Such a great thing is salatul hajat. If you make this habit, I'm giving you a message now. I'm giving you a message. That salatul hajat, make a habit of this in your life. Any need you have, even if you don't have a need, you say, I'm going to pray to nafil salatul hajat. And from this salah, I'm going to ask Allah for my needs for the whole day. For this ummah, Allah has given a gift. So many gifts for this. Yes. For this reason, Allah has given us these things that don't wander around here. Then if come to me, Allah says, come to me. Allah says that, come to me. If I don't get a shop, Allah says, come to me. If you don't get your business running, Allah says, come to me. Whatever condition you are, whatever circumstance, Allah says, come to me. But very few people are there who go to Allah. First they go towards the resources and the means of the world. Then they say, is there any prayer, recitation? Allah says, then go to that person who you went to first. Just like Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala said to him. So do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. You don't understand what I'm saying? Okay, good. So this is how qareeb, close is Allah Ta'ala, so close. How close is Allah? That every action, in every action Allah has given us this awareness that you are far but I am near to you. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. That's it, tell me. That I am so close to you, I'll tell you another amal. And what is that? Allah says that I give you permission that you remember me. Allah's given us permission. This is Allah's ijazah, permission. Otherwise, who can dare and sit down and say Allah's name? Can anyone dare? Will you sit down and say your father's name? Huh? Will you? Oh, you will you say his name? He'll say, haven't you got manners? You're saying my name. Yes. Will you say your sheikh's name directly? No. It'll be disrespect. They'll say it's disrespect. Will you call your mum out by her name? No, it's disrespect. Bi-adbi. Will you call out your ustad by name? No, it's disrespect. So the disrespect with this is, but there's not, is it not disrespect to say Allah's name when he has many qualities and attributes? You can say Qadir, Ya Rahim, Ya Rahman. Yes, these are Allah's praises here. Who are you to say Allah? Allahu Akbar. Imagine, subhanallah. Imagine. Do you understand that point I'm saying? Do you understand the point? Wadhkur isma rabbik. Allah says, no, I like it that you call me from my beautiful personal name. Why? So, because I want to eliminate the distance between me and you. Allah says, I want a personal relationship with you, close. You will keep saying, Ya Qadir, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Sattar. Allah says, leave all of that. You are my servant, I'm your Khaliq creator. Fadhkuruni, remember me. Wadhkur isma rabbik, remember me with my name. With my name. We say, Allah, we don't remember you. We don't want to remember you. Does anyone do dhikr of Allah nowadays? Morning and evening we have dhikr. They say, oh, this is the dhikr jamaat. Dhikr cult. I don't understand this. Are there groups and segments? Oh, this is the segment of salah. This is the group of tabligh. This is the group of fasting. Oh, Muslims. So you've made groups and segments. For every Muslim is fard. Every action is fard to praise salah. Salah is fard on everyone. Tabligh is fard on everybody. To prostrate is compulsory on everybody. To keep the fast is compulsory for everybody. So why have you made these separate groups and sects? This is the game of shaitan. They split us up into groups. When people split up into groups, then you get far from each other. You want to sit next to him. Oh no, they are these people. Oh, he's that. He's from that group. He's from that sect. And then shaitan comes and puts waswasa, whispering into your ears. Look at the origin, that when they're doing this work, what's the order for this? When you see people doing dhikr, they're sitting down doing dhikr, then look, that what's the origin of this work that he's doing? Origin is fadhkuruni adhkurkum. That's the origin. That's where it started from. At the moment, this person, if he's doing dhikr, he's using this method because Allah has told him to, they want to get to Allah's qurban nearness by doing dhikr. That's the prescription. Do you understand what I'm saying? What's the point of making groups and differences? If any person is doing an amal, at that time he's getting Allah's nearness through the amal, through the action. Yes, otherwise there's no separate objective. Our target's all the same. So this amal Allah has given to us, dhikr, his remembrance. What a great amal. In this there's no limit, no boundary. Allah says, just like my servant remembers me, when you remember me in your heart, I'll remember you in my heart, Allah says. When you remember me in a gathering, Allah says, I'll remember you in a better gathering, Allah says. And then after remembering, he says, Allah says to the angels, that look at this man, these people, men are remembering me. They sat in a masjid and they're unique people. Someone's come from here, someone's come from here, someone's from this offspring, from this country, from this background. Why are they gathered together? They are gathered due to my name, Allah says. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So who is Allah Ta'ala saying this to? To the angels. Allah is addressing the angels. Allah is introducing who? To the angels. We're sat in the world, dirty impure people. And Allah is introducing us in the heavens to the angels. Why? Because this action is so great, it has this result. That Allah is introducing. There's nothing to be shocked about. Allah says, when you ever do this action, dhikr, the result will be this for sure, that I will mention you in the heavens. And when you are mentioned in the heavens, the angel will say, oh, this is a great group of people. They're remembering Allah. Great jama'ah. Great group of people. Assembly. Allah is then proud of those people amongst the angels. Allah says, I'm proud of you, my creation. My people, I'm proud of you. We don't even know that Allah is proud of us at that time. But Allah has enabled us to do that action. So what is this dhikr, this amal that I'm talking to you about? Dhikrullah. So Allah is proud of you when you remember Allah, when you do dhikr. If you say once, Allah says, then once you get this, if you do it twice, then twice this will happen. If you keep on doing dhikr, then every second, every moment, Allah Ta'ala will keep on doing that, keep on doing the action. Subhanallah, what a great event. Those who get used to doing dhikr, who are used to doing, and they're always in the mode of dhikr with their tongue and their heart, then every moment, every second, they're in that position that Allah Ta'ala is proud of them. Every moment, every second. Allah. And if Allah is proud of a person every second, if Allah is proud of a person, then imagine what comes to that person. If he's stuck in a problem, if he's stuck in a difficulty, then alhamdulillah, even that it will be a great reward for that person, because there'll be no pain for that person. A special person, special servant of Allah. So you can say from your action, I'm a special man. Allah's given me this reward, this pain that's coming. It's not due to a sin. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His direction, this is a form of rahmah, mercy that this is coming to me. Okay, I'll conclude what I'm saying, because it's time to do dhikr. In the next gathering, the majlis tomorrow, inshallah, then we will speak some new things, inshallah. Recite Durood Sharif.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, as-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidil mursalin. Ya Rahman ar-Rahim, ya Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وسلمنا حصلنا وشدنا خطرنا محمد كل ذنب اللهم اغفر لنا اللهم اغفر لنا اللهم اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وارضنا وتقبل منا وادخلنا الجنة وجعلنا من النار يا كريم يا كريم يا كريم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله